Well, good evening. We want to welcome you to the Wednesday night Bible study from the Jacksonville Church of Christ. And if you're one of our members and are joining us, we welcome you. We miss you. We miss seeing you. If you're visiting tonight from a neighboring sister congregation, we're grateful you have tuned in to this service. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we are extremely grateful, and we are thankful that you have tuned in to study the Word of God with us tonight. You will need a Bible tonight, and I would suggest a pen handy. We'll be making some notes together as we walk ourselves through the book of Deuteronomy. Before we begin tonight, just a few announcements to the church members here. We want to continue to remind you of our resources that are made available to the church members. PTP 365 is available. Of course, it's free right now for everyone. And you can use this resource to study the Word of God during the week. That's PTP 365. It's a great resource. Also, we are doing a virtual Polishing the Pulpit right now. I believe that's Tuesday, Thursday evening, 7 o'clock. And if you'll tune in tomorrow evening, Brother Kyle Butt will be our guest speaker, and we have several speakers lined up through the month of May, and I believe you'll enjoy hearing those good lessons. That's a virtual Polishing the Pulpit that we're doing during this time. As a Jacksonville member, do not forget that we are getting ready to have the Hope Edition of House to House, Heart to Heart. It's going to be mailed throughout the community. We're praying that we can reach souls that may be have an open door at this time. Maybe they're thinking about their soul more soberly, and those will begin arriving in mailboxes sometime after the 1st of May. We're not exactly sure exactly the date, but you have that resource as well. Please bring your offering by, and you can mail it or you can drop it by here at the Student Center, and there is a basket out there, also the Lord's Supper supplies. And if you would like to take an opportunity to evangelize a neighbor, a friend, or a coworker, we have these Doesn't Matter DVDs. These are free for our church members. You just pick one up, mail it to one of your friends, family members, coworkers. Now is an excellent time to focus on saving souls. There may be, an open window. People are at home, and they're interested perhaps in spiritual things in a way they have not been before. Let's go ahead and begin our study tonight. This comes from our Old Testament Simplified. This is based on the Old Testament books, the 39 books, and we're looking at the theme of redemption. That is the purpose of the Bible. God wrote the Bible to purchase us. That's what the word redeem means, to purchase. We were sold, lost to sin, and God is going to pay the ultimate price to bring us back. He begins paying that price in Genesis chapter 1. He has the groundwork all laid out. He remembered that the redemptive plan of God was not an afterthought. It was not something that God kind of thought of in the middle of the night, as we would say it. This is something God had in his mind from the very beginning. It's his eternal purpose to save us from sin. And so when we read the Bible, we should be looking for that redemptive plan. It's in Genesis, it's in Exodus, it's in Leviticus, it's in Numbers, and in Deuteronomy, the book of oration, God is going to orate that plan through Moses to Israel, a brand new generation of people. Now, here's where we are in our study. As we have broken open the book of Deuteronomy, I've done something a little different. I'm not necessarily going chapter by chapter and hitting all the verses. Now, we will do some of that, but what I wanted to do is give a thorough introduction to this book. Because there are some things in Deuteronomy that are very unique. As we've said previously, it may be one of the most, if not most important book of the Old Testament. It's fundamental. It's going to take the very teachings of God and make an application on how to live it. When you open the book of Deuteronomy, here are the things you're going to see. Number one, it is a book of the law. The word Deuteronomy, a repeat of the law. So the law is going to be repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. To that, there's no question. When I think of the book of Deuteronomy, prior to this study, I've always thought, this is a book of the law. But what I've enjoyed in this particular instance is it's so much more than that. For instance, we learned and studied together several Wednesday nights ago that the book of Deuteronomy is a book of grace. And it's, in fact, those passages about the grace of God are throughout the entire book. Then we learn together, it's a book of love. It's God's grace, it's God's law, and God's love. Here's what's exciting about this study. He pulls them all together. They aren't mutually exclusive. You can have law, the law of God. You can have the grace of God. You can have the love of God. And you can have all those things together in one place. You have it in the New Testament. We certainly are under a law of grace and love, but we're under law. You have it in the book of Deuteronomy, but there's something else before we go even further. Did you know tonight the book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance? You cannot study the book of Deuteronomy without seeing this motif, this particular phrase repeated over and over again. In fact, in the Old Testament Simplified, you'll notice in the key words that the word forget and remember are listed because they're mentioned, they're woven throughout the text. Now, think about the environment or the context of Deuteronomy. Moses is looking at a brand new generation of people. Those who witnessed and watched and were part of the great deliverance of Exodus, those who are 20 years old and upward, they have died in the wilderness. So by and large, you have their children, their grandchildren. You have a brand new generation of people. What's the greatest danger? The greatest danger every generation faces is not learning the lessons of the past, forgetting the fundamentals, giving up ground that was gained and maintained by previous generations. They worked so hard, they fought so hard, they've given us a gift on a platter, and we have the responsibility to make sure that we don't give it up. God emphasizes in Deuteronomy the dangers of forgetting those lessons and the blessings of remembering them. Therefore, not only is the book of Deuteronomy about love and grace and law, brethren, it is a book of remembrance. Here's what I've learned in just the years I've been preaching. Brethren have short memories, especially about those things that are good. They forget the past very quickly. And in fact, it's remarkable how quickly we forget vital and important information about living the Christian life. And in fact, here's what's even more interesting, how quick brethren are to remember the bad things, how quickly we are sometimes to complain and to remember things that are that we wish we could forget. In fact, I've been in cases where brethren will bring out their book of remembrance. Their book of remembrance is not about the good things. It may be all the mistakes they perceive you've made. It may be all the decisions they disagreed with. Maybe things they didn't like that the elders did. And did you realize there are some actually who catalog this? I've been an eyewitness to brethren who actually have a spiral notebook and they cataloged all the things they disagreed with through the years. When I first saw this, I was floored. I couldn't believe I was seeing this. Brethren who catalog, they want to remember all those things. But when you talk about all the souls that were saved, all the good that's been done, all the progress that's been made, I mean, we forget those things very quickly. Brethren, here's the point I want to make in this class, and I hope you see this in every class period. We're just not studying about an ancient people who lived thousands of years ago. We're studying about a people that represent us. There's very little difference in how people think and operate today than how they operated during the Church of Israel, the Congregation of Israel, the Church of the Wilderness, the Church of the Old Testament. We can learn things today from that congregation that Moses orated to. I want us to begin here this evening by looking at the book of remembrance. So take your Bibles, open the book of Deuteronomy, and let's begin. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 9. Now again, I call these threads scripture threads. This is when God seems to weave together a teaching. It permeates the book. If you miss these, if you miss those passages on grace and law and love, if you miss those, you're really missing the oomph of Deuteronomy. So would you also miss it if you did not emphasize remembrance. Look at chapter 4 and verse 9 as Moses is pleading with this new generation. He says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." I want you to notice that. Here it is that God says that, listen, as we move through this, God is saying, listen, don't forget that I'm a jealous God. Don't forget that I have given you that to preserve you. Everything that I've done is so that your children will not forget me. They will not They will not be able to escape the knowledge that has been provided for them throughout the generations. Now, I want you to do something with me. Go to verse number 23 of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at this. Here it is. Let's go back here to 4. I'm sorry, I was at the wrong verse. I did not think that sounded right. Go back to chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Here's what I want you to do. Take the word forget, circle it. Put out beside of it verse 23. We're going to follow this through and watch this. Moses says, here's what you need. Take heed to yourself. Don't forget this lesson personally. There are some personal things, lessons that God has taught that we should never allow to lapse. And then he says this, teach them to thy sons. Make sure that you teach these things to your children. Don't let the next generation forget this. Brethren, we will do ourselves a great disservice if we don't pass on the fundamentals to our children. If they don't understand why we are who we are, where we came from, why we worship, why we teach, why we so live, and thy sons' sons. You know, we have an obligation to our grandchildren. That's the grandparents. That's the parents teaching their children. Don't let them forget this. Now, again, go to verse 23. Take heed unto yourself, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. Take heed to yourself. This is your responsibility. Don't forget this. How do you make sure you don't forget the things that God has taught? He's going to show you. Moses is going to teach us in this book how we should not forget. It's very easy to do it. Let's keep going. Go to chapter 5 and let's walk ourselves forward to verse number 12. Chapter 6, verse number 12. And let's notice here as it continues. Then beware. This is when they get into the land. Lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The danger, what was the greatest danger Israel faced? That they would forget about what happened to them in the wilderness. They would forget about how God delivered them from Egypt. They would forget about the lessons of Korah, Balaam, and Balak. They would forget the lessons of the murmuring and the complaining. That they would repeat the same mistakes. Don't let that happen. He says, beware. This is the anytime God says beware. Now, I mean, think about the word. You walk into a yard and you see a sign that says, beware. Does that get your attention? Gets my attention really quick. God said, beware. Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You see, it was the Lord who had delivered them. The greatest danger they had was to forget this. Now, go to chapter 7 and look at verse number 18. Let's walk through this together. Then shall thou not be afraid of them, but shall, well, remember. Now, here's another word. We're going to combine these. Circle the word remember. What the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt. So not only is God admonishing them not to forget, he's also saying, listen, you got to remember this stuff. Well, how do you accomplish that? Let's go back down to chapter 6 and let's see. Look at verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Unto who? Thou shalt teach them diligently, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Thou shalt teach them not just on Bible class. Brethren, teaching them diligently is the parents' responsibility to the children. Why? Verse 12, lest thou forget the Lord. You see, this goes hand in hand. We have a responsibility to teach our children these fundamentals. Brother, never get bored of the fundamental teachings of God. You cannot teach them often enough. You cannot repeat them enough. Because you have literally ears that are growing up that have never heard it. And you know what else? We have older ears that forget so quickly. We forget the very teachings that God has given. Let's keep going. Notice here, chapter 7, verse 18. Go to chapter 8, verse number 2. Here's another one. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness. Don't forget that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He says, I want you to remember that. Led thee 40 years to humble thee. Notice the purpose. God said, I'm going to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep the commandments or not. God said, all those things were a test. He said, I was testing you. I was proving you. I wanted to know, did you really love me? I wanted to know, were you really going to obey me or not? Now, go to verse 2. Now, go down to verse number 11. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord thy God. That's the second time he said that. Don't allow that to happen, he says, in not keeping the commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. How important is it that we make sure in churches of Christ that our Bible classes are teaching the fundamental lessons from the earliest ages on up? You know, it's amazing what a child can learn. In the earliest of years in a nursery class, they learn words like Bible, Jesus, God, love. They learn books of the Bible. They learn fundamentals, and that grows every year. What about the child whose parents don't bring them to Bible class? What about the parents who are just, you know, they're just too busy? You know, we have other things going on. Oh, brothers, this is exactly how we forget. See, it's not the job of the Bible class to do the work of parenting, but it can assist you. And I would have a hard time believing that if a parent isn't bringing their children to Bible class, that they're actually teaching them at home. In fact, one is probably going to go with the other. If you have the energy, the strength, and the willpower to bring them to Bible class, and mothers, I know it's a struggle sometimes. You're trying to get them ready in the morning or in the evening, and of course during this time. But if you're not doing that, I don't know that you'd be doing it at home. And so here it is that we have a responsibility. Pass on this. Now go to verse number 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, which is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. There's the word covenant. That's about redemption. God says, listen, I don't want you to forget that. That's the whole reason all this is going on. Look at verse 19. Let's connect them. And it shall be, if thou do it at all, forget the Lord. Look at verse 18, the word remember. That's your key word. Circle it. Look at verse 19. There's your word forget. Connect the two. God says, here it is. Remember, don't forget. The positive, remember this. It's going to help you. The negative, don't forget this, because if you do, it's going to hurt you. Don't forget the Lord thy God. Walk after other gods. Serve them. That's what's going to happen if you forget. All the old preachers would always warn us. I can remember this growing up. Oh, brethren, we're just one generation away from apostasy. That means a departure from faith. So if we don't teach our members why it is that we worship as we worship on the Lord's Day, why is it that we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Why is it that we even meet on the first day of the week? Why is it that we sing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments? Why do we do things like that? If we do not emphasize that over and over again to our members, they will forget. You know what Moses' fear was? That Israel would forget why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they would commit the same mistakes, the same sins that they had committed. They would do them again. Let's go. Let's continue this. All the way through the book, chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and forget not. I mean, they're right together. You can't miss them this time. So the word and, it connects both remember and forget. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you camest unto the place you have been rebellious against the Lord. Don't forget what happened when you rebelled against the Lord. Don't forget how the Lord brought you out of Egypt. He said those are lessons that are vital. Go to chapter 15. Let's bounce forward a little bit. We can't cover all these, but for time's sake, let's get a few of them. Make sure you mark them. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Don't forget how it was to serve sin. Brethren, is it not dangerous for us to forget what it was like to be the servant of sin? I mean, how dangerous would it be to forget about where we came from? I mean, to know that there was a time when we were not a servant of Jesus Christ. For Israel not to realize, listen, do you remember how it used to be? Don't forget that. Because that should spur you forward. You were a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord, he redeemed you. That's the word. This is the purpose of the Bible. God says, listen, you were owned. You were owned by a foreign power, and God delivered you. He redeemed you. He purchased you. Tonight, God can purchase you. He can redeem you. We got to teach these lessons. Therefore, I command thee this day to this day. Remember that. Never forget, my friend, where you came from. I think sometimes those of us who are raised, born, you know, we grow up in the church. Our parents were members of the church. Our grandparents were members of the church. And some of us are third, fourth, fifth, and longer generations members of the church. Do we take for granted? Do we take for granted the blessings that we inherit that others do not? And maybe we don't appreciate it as much because maybe we personally didn't have to fight ourselves out of religious error. We didn't have to fight our way out of false doctrines and teachings and raised in a religion you can't even find in the Bible. But maybe you did. The worst thing you could do was forget that battle. Can you not appreciate? Do you not appreciate those who are struggling right now to find the truth? Does that not spur you on to try to teach other people? The danger for those of us who are raised in the church is maybe that we allow that to de-incentivize. We don't have the incentive, someone who's not a member of the church that grew up and had to fight their way out of that. These are essential lessons. Look at chapter 16. Let's move forward. Connect all these, if you will. Go to verse number 3. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with them. 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the breath of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt. You know, there is a day in Israel's history that they were not to forget. There is the, of course, the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to forget that day. But what about the day they originated? What about the Passover as it was set up? What about that day, the day of origination? You know, there are days that we should never forget. In the church, Christians, there are days that we should remember. In fact, we're called to remember them. Let's keep going. Look at verse number 12. We just move ourselves right through this, and we find it over and over again. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondwoman or bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Go to 24:19. Let's try to get ourselves through the end of the book here and go into the New Testament. 24 and verse 9. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. Don't forget Miriam. You know, even Miriam had important lessons. Remember when she approached Moses? And in fact, she got Aaron to join in with her. And remember, she challenged the authority of Moses. And remember what happened to her? The Bible says, don't let that happen. Remember what the Lord thy God did to Miriam. Remember the leprosy. And by the way, after you came out of the land of Egypt, go to verse number 18. But thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, that the Lord thy God redeemed. There it is again, the second time. That's a powerful word. If it was my Bible, I'd not only underline these passages, brethren, I would circle these words, redeem thee. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Now, keep going with me. Go to chapter 25 and go to verse number 19. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord thy God has given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Remember, God said he's going to, you know, Amalek, the people, the Amalekites will be completely destroyed. No one would remember them. By the way, have you read of the Amalekites lately in a history book? There's a reason you don't. God said the world would forget about them, the people. But listen to this. Don't forget the lesson that I taught you in that. There is a lesson that they were not to forget. Now, let's go to the very end. Let's keep going. Chapter 31. Let's go to verse 21. We have two more. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song. So there was a song. It's called the Song of Moses. Why did they sing the song? So they wouldn't forget. The song that shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths. Why did they have the Song of Moses? So the Israelites wouldn't forget. Now, let's put this all together. 32:7 really summarizes the entire teaching very well. Remember the days of the old. Consider the years of many generations. There's wisdom in these generations. There's wisdom in our older elders and Christians. Here it is. Ask thy father. Oh, fathers, you need to teach your children. Elders need to teach the congregation, and older members need to not allow the younger to forget. Listen to this. And he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. We do not need to allow the wisdom to die with our older members. It needs to be taught. Now, what was Moses' greatest concern? That Israel doesn't forget this. Now, what does that have to do with me? I want to bring this home. Brother, not only is the book of Deuteronomy a book of remembrance, may I suggest to you the New Testament is a book of remembrance. See, God wasn't just concerned about Israel forgetting. He's concerned that those of us in the church today would forget. I want you to look at how powerful this teaching is. Go to Matthew chapter 26, and I want you to look. And we're going to start with the very end of Matthew 26 and 75. This is about the trial of Christ, Peter. Then Peter, look at this, remember the cock crew. And immediately when the cock crew, Peter remembered the word of Jesus. He remembered the words of Jesus which said unto him before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. What does remembrance do? Brethren, remembrance helps us have a correct understanding of our lives. It helps us remember. Remembering Bible passages helps correct us. It corrects things in our life. It was, you know, why did Peter immediately know that he was in the wrong? Because he remembered the scripture. See, if we are to remember the scripture, put the scripture in our minds, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, is it not a sudden reminder? Oh, for Peter, that's exactly what happened. Look at chapter 17, verse 32 of Luke. Let's just pick a few of these out here. Luke 17, 32. And you might want to connect some of these here in the New Testament, and you'll see them. It says, remember Lot's wife. You know, of all the wives in the Old Testament that I'm asked about as a preacher, I've probably been asked more times about Cain's wife than any other wife. And we have nothing in the Bible about Cain's wife. I can remember the first time I received this question in my question box. I just started preaching in Poole, Kentucky. And I got the question. I get it almost yearly. I get it when I went to Hillsboro. I got it when I went to Willette. You know, tell me about Cain's wife. Do you know, of all the years I've been preaching, I never had anyone ask me a question about Lot's wife. The wife that Jesus tells us to remember is Lot's wife. There's a lot of lessons in Lot's wife. Nothing is said. Now, I'm not. Yes, Cain had a wife, and I have a by implication, I can narrow it down to a couple choices. But that's not what's important. Here's what's important. God says, remember Lot's wife. Why remember Lot's wife? Because there was a great sin being committed in Sodom and Gomorrah. So strong was the sin that it even took Lot's own wife with it. Why are we preaching about Lot's wife? Why are we remembering her? Oh, I want you to keep going with me. Go to Luke 24, 6. And so as we walk through this, we see that Jesus, this was intertwined in his teaching. In Luke 24 and verse number 6, he says this, he is not here. This is about Jesus and the resurrection, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. I find this remarkable. Brethren, these are not lukewarm people. I mean, let's understand who we're dealing with right here. These were not lukewarm disciples. These were the strongest of the disciples. These were not Sunday morning only. These were not a periodic, you know, members who attended, when it suits their fancy. These are the strongest. The strongest of the members belonging to Christ forgot. I have a question for you tonight. Brethren, if the strongest of us can forget, what about us? What about you and me? Is this lesson not important? Because here we have the disciples, how quickly they forgot about what. And Jesus didn't say it once. He said it over and over again, and they forgot about what he said about the resurrection. This is why this is essential. Go to John 15 and verse 20.
And let's just continue looking at this word. Very important. Remember the words. Jesus says that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. How important it is that we remember what Jesus just said there. I mean, when your life gets difficult, and I understand life is difficult right now. I get it. I understand that we're living in a time of distress. And we should be praying that the days of distress are shortened. That's a biblical prayer that we can pray. We should be praying that prayer. But in the meantime, we're all under distress. We're all, and to various degrees, different degrees, we're all struggling. How easy would it be for us to maybe blame the Lord, lose confidence, lose faith? And because are we willing to pay the price? Here's the question. Are we, as the followers of God, willing to pay the price of suffering? Or will we compromise? There's just two options. Either you compromise what you believe or you pay the price. John 15, 20, the motivation is right there. Think about it. Remember Jesus. If the Lord suffered, if the Lord had to go through hardships, if the Lord had to experience the difficulties of following the Father, are we going to experience any less? Am I in any way greater than the Lord? Do you see how dangerous it would be for me to forget that? Because forgetting that might cause me to compromise my faith. Let's look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 16. And here's something that's very interesting about the conversion of Cornelius and something that Peter picked up. Look at this. Then remembered I the words of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is about the Holy Spirit falling on the house of Cornelius. And notice that remembering Scripture, and he's going back. He's going back to things that were talked of. Jesus talked about John and his baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's the point I want to make. By remembering the Scripture, you can make the proper application. But if you don't remember the Scripture, friends, you're doomed to religious error. I mean, you're doomed to go off a direction that's not good. It's important that we remember and are taught the fundamentals so it keeps us on the straight and narrow. So we don't go off and dive into something that's never in the history of Scripture been taught. I want to pass on this warning. If you're doing a Bible study and you come across something new, some new truth, some fundamental Bible doctrine that no one's ever thought of before, that's never been taught by past generations, you can count on it. You're going the wrong direction. Friends, what's new is not usually true. And what's true is not new. The doctrine of Jesus Christ about being saved, living the Christian life, the church of Christ, we have been teaching this for 2,000 years. The greatest danger we have today in our pews is for church members to forget these lessons and for preachers not to preach it. Look at Acts 20 and 35. Here's something that we don't even find recorded in the gospel accounts. It's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but we know it was said by Jesus. Notice what he said. He remembered, this is Paul, he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus, how Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we would remember that passage, if that was the one passage we remembered, how do you think that would help us when it comes to our almsgiving? Almsgiving, our private benevolence you do. No one knows. No one should know about your almsgiving. Almsgiving is private. It's willing. It's not commanded. No, it wouldn't be almsgiving. It was commanded. No, there's no command that says, you know, give to this person or give to that in that case. Almsgiving is your private giving. Then there's the benevolence. And how about your Lord's Day offering? That is commanded. If you were to remember Acts 20, 35, would that not make us more benevolent? Would that not help us to be better when it comes to helping and offering? I believe this. Acts 20, 35 to benevolence is what Mark 16, 16 is to salvation. Let me explain what I'm saying. If tonight I were to ask you, you know, what must you do to be saved? How many in the audience tonight would immediately have Mark 16:16 flash in their head? Because that's an automated memory verse. You know, when you talk about salvation, hey, it's Mark 16:16. May I ask you a question tonight? When we talk about giving, when we talk about almsgiving, when we talk about Lord's Day offering, benevolence, does Acts 20:35 ever come to your mind? And that's the very passage that Paul said we should remember. Do you not think we would be better givers, better at offering, better at looking out for the poor? If we were to think of Acts 20:35, when the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive, it should be an automated memory. That when those things come up, we should automatically go to passages like this. Friends, inspired by God, he says, remember it. We should never forget passages like that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:17 and let's look at a few more. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. And let's notice this one. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Paul says, so I'm sending you Timothy. That's a tremendous gift. We want that to be happening. Look at this. Why is Timothy coming? Who shall bring you into remembrance? What's the job of the young preacher? Remind the brethren of my ways, which shall be in Christ, as I teach them everywhere and in every church. Did you notice how universal the gospel teaching is? It doesn't change. The gospel is the same in Texas as it is in Alabama. The gospel is the same in Alabama as it is in Tennessee. It's in every place, in every church. He says, remember, Timothy, you go every place you go, you preach that. Is that not important for us today to understand? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:24 and notice as the book of Deuteronomy stated so eloquently and so forcefully by Moses, is that not what we should be teaching today, reminding the brethren? This is a passage that you know very well. In fact, it's quoted in some congregations almost weekly. But did you notice the word? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. Friends, the Lord's Supper is a day of remembrance. When you think of the elements of the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread, does it not remind you of the death of Jesus? Is that not the implication here? Don't forget that. That's important. God said, listen, the Lord's Supper is a day of remembrance. It's a day of communion, unity. It's a day of proclamation that he's coming back. All of those things inculcated right into the point. Don't forget this. Let's keep going. Look at just a few more as time is escaping quickly. Go to Galatians chapter 2 and let's look at verse number 10. Galatians 2 and 10 and Paul carries this on. And he again, you know, he doesn't want us to forget these vital lessons. He wants us to remember these. Only they would that we should remember the poor. You know, the more I study the Bible, the more I'm convinced that we don't perhaps give enough attention to those that God gave attention to. Do you notice in Scripture how mindful God was of the widows, the widowers, the poor? You know, one of the good things that's happening right now in churches of Christ is the love of church members for the widows, the widowers, and the poor. I've been very impressed by the members of the Jacksonville church. I mean, you have people delivering baskets, people delivering food, people calling on one another, especially our older members, especially to make sure that, you know, do you need your lawn mowed? Do you need us to deliver some food to you? Is there something you need us to bring you? I mean, if there's ever a time when the church should be reaching out to the widows, the widowers, maybe the older and elderly, those who perhaps can't take care of themselves as well. Maybe those who are in a position where they're more susceptible. It's right now. God has always said, God says, you know, you might forget, maybe you forget a young person, a preacher. But don't forget the poor. You know, maybe we forget about some, but there's a certain group, says God says, don't forget them. Look at Ephesians 2:11. Let's keep going. Chapter 2, verses 11 and following. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at times, there was a time in your life, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the present world. Tell me this, brethren, tonight. What's the difference in that passage and the passages we read in Deuteronomy that said, remember when you were a bondman in Egypt? There is no difference. Just in testaments, God told the Israelites, listen, don't forget when you were owned by Egypt. You know what Paul says? Don't forget when you were owned by sin. Don't forget when you weren't, when you didn't belong to God. Don't forget about how it was and how you transitioned and how through Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel, you have been saved. I believe we would see a church of Christ more evangelistic if we wouldn't forget what it was like. If we wouldn't forget how miserable it is not to be a Christian. If we would not forget how awful it is to have no hope and be without God in the present world. But we forget those things. We become comfortable in our living and everything's handed to us on a silver platter. We sit in our padded pews. And we go through the routine. But the Apostle Paul said, don't forget how it was. Let's go to Philippians 1 verse 3. Should we not forget the church? Because Paul, he didn't forget the church. In fact, in verse 3 he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank my God for you. How often when we pray, do we thank God for the church? Do we remember the church? Is the church what you live for? Do you live for the saved, the body of the redeemed? Because the Apostle Paul did. I want to keep going. Colossians 4:18, there's several of these. I really want to get to Peter before we close. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Remember those who suffered for you. How important is it for us to teach our newer generation, our younger generations, the sacrifices that some have made who've gone before? Right now, I'm having my son read a book. It's called J.D. Tant, Texas Preacher. And a few days ago, he said, Dad, he said, boy, those preachers back there, he said, they suffered. There's a reason I want him to read that book. I want him to know how it was like. I don't want us ever to forget the battles that our former brethren fought, that M.B. Hardman fought, that Brother Foy Wallace fought, these battles that some of the older preachers fought. If we forget them, the dangers that are involved. Paul says, remember those who are in bonds. Remember those who have sacrificed so much, who literally have given their physical life for you. Man, I haven't had to. Boy, you look at the life some of these preachers lived, and I look at the life that I live, and sometimes I'm embarrassed. I haven't had to sacrifice like that. But I can tell you, does that mean that you need to go out and sacrifice? No, here's what it means. Don't forget it. Don't forget what they have done. Take it for granted, because if you do, then you have truly dishonored it. Let's keep going. Look at 1 Timothy 4:6 here. Again, Paul reminds this young preacher. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance. What's your job, preacher? Remind the brethren. They're so easy to forget. That thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Hebrews 10:32. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, and verse 7, remembering the elders. Let's get over to 2 Peter. Our time is just about up. I love 2 Peter. This is a book about things fatal to forget. And we're going to run these through real quick. Get your pens ready. Let's go. In verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Paul says, the problem you have is you've forgotten. And he says, I'm not going to forget to remind you. I will remind you over and over and over again. Brethren, a preacher can't preach enough lessons about salvation. He can't. He can't preach enough lessons about baptism. He can't preach enough lessons about worship. He can't preach enough lessons about moral living. He can't do it enough. If you're getting tired of preaching those fundamental lessons, could you do us all a favor? If I hesitate to say this, I don't want to come across harsh, but I'm going to speak the truth tonight. If those kind of lessons bore you, maybe you shouldn't be preaching.
We need preachers and teachers and elders, deacons and Bible class teachers who never get bored of these fundamental lessons. God help us if we allow a generation to rise up in the church who doesn't understand why they're a Christian. What's unique about the Church of Christ? Why are we different than any other religious group? He says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, although I know you know them. Paul says, listen, I know you know this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Look at verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He says, I'm going to remind you. Go down to verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be also after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Don't forget. Now go to chapter 3 and verse number 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your minds by the way of remembrance. Brethren, God help us not to forget where we've come from. Because at one time I wandered in the wilderness. And so did you. We all wandered in the wilderness of sin. Don't forget the lessons God has taught you. Always love the Church of Christ. Love His Word. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy, yes, is a book about the law. Yes, it's about grace and love. But brethren, it's also a book of remembrance. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the power of the gospel. May we never forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank Thee, Father, for His suffering and His willingness to give Himself for us. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for the Church of Christ. We love her, Father. We thank Thee that we have a King in this kingdom and we serve the Lord of Lords. We thank Thee, Father, for the purity of the doctrine. We thank Thee for the organization of the church. We thank Thee for the beauty of the plan that You have started. It was eternal in Your purpose. Father, we thank Thee for redemption. We thank Thee for the book of Deuteronomy, for the lessons Moses taught Israel. And we thank Thee that these same principles are taught to us as Christians today. May we stir up our minds by the ray of remembrance. May we never forget the truths of Thy word. May we hold them dearly. When we live by Thy precepts and die by Thy promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.